This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Powered by U-Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
BFM 89.9, this is the Breakfast Grill. I'm Keith Kam. Semiconductors have been the new frontier for decades, with China and the US competing for dominance. Led by generative AI, the future for chip sales is looking bright. A push towards more environmentally friendly tech is also positive for this sector. Sadly, though, geopolitical concerns in the Middle East and Eastern Europe will also drive demand from a weapons and arms perspective. Recognizing this, Second Finance Minister Dato' Sri Amir Hamzah Azizan expressed hope that Malaysia can move away from the back end of the semiconductor supply chain production and towards the higher end of the spectrum. On the program this morning, I have Chew Ni Weng, the founder and CEO of Bursa-listed QES Group. Now, Chew, I actually have a bit of a late congratulations for you for being one of nine Malaysian companies named as part of Forbes Asia's Best Under a Billion 2023 list. Also, for your transfer from the ACE market to the main board in December 2022. Now, that's a feat that you accomplished in just under 4 years. Yes, and that was an ambition you expressed when you were last on this program in August 2021. Since then, what doors have opened up for you?
Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Keith. Yeah, it's good to be back, you know. Thank you for having me this morning. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you have mentioned just now regarding QES and also a little bit of our government's initiative to move up the value chain from the back end of the semiconductor test and assembly, probably moving towards the wafer fab and also IC design areas, you know. Okay, I'll talk about that later. So we are growing, and of course we are fortunate as well, as you said it. Semiconductor space is where we are operating. You know, revenue point of view, QES Group probably about close to 50% of our revenues actually are generated from semiconductor. So when I define semiconductor, there's both sides of it, the test and assembly, packaging, and the wafer fab, which is, of course, the front-end side of it. Yeah, because of that, the last 4 or 5 years, seen some growth in the semiconductor space. Yeah, not forgetting, of course, QES is unique in a sense because we have the other 40%,
yeah,
which is non-semiconductor. So yeah, we kind of have a little bit of balance of both, you know.
And you did all this during a time of MCO and FMCO and all kinds of MCOs and during the COVID pandemic. How was it navigating through these challenging times?
Yes, it was tough, I must admit, the initial phases of the shutdowns and all that, as you mentioned.
And you had only one facility at the time, right?
Yes, you're right. So, you know, that also kind of pivots me to think about risk mitigation,
yeah,
rather than operating on one side. So when we went through that and then things start to pick up a little bit more and all that, then we decided also to invest in a piece of land in Batukawan. As you can see, some of the milestones that we're going to do is to have a dual site manufacturing, you know, because all our customers are the large multinational companies. So they always have this, you know, questions about business continuity, risk mitigations. So we are definitely doing a lot of business continuity programs, risk management programs, so that eventually our customers are not affected heavily, you know. So that's part and parcel of the plan.
Your business is mainly on the distribution side, which I remember you said made up something like 85% of your revenues. And you did say that you wanted to expand that revenue stream by ramping up manufacturing capabilities. Have you put that into motion? Where are we now with that?
Okay, good question, Keith. You know, all along, yeah, we are unique in the sense that we started from distribution. That's why distribution division is still a very large component of QES Group.
Yeah.
Since IPO, you know, I've, you know, attended, as you said, a few interviews and all that, and it's still in place. I plan to move the manufacturing revenue, hopefully, you know, to hit at least 30-35% of our total.
Okay.
You know, that's the plan. Right now, we are at about, you know, 15-18 on the average, you know, so it's still less than 20. So we're still on track. I'm, you know, putting a lot of my effort to really improve the manufacturing side. Of course, it's not an easy fit. You know, we are allocating, you know, capex to do that. We are hiring and increasing our capacity and also capability. So this is part and parcel of a plan to increase the strength in manufacturing. So it's showing a little some fruits. So we are, of course, getting a lot of R&D on a new product for semiconductor equipment. Customers are really putting in a lot of confidence in our new product lines. Mm. So recently, we are also getting a lot of momentum, a lot of orders coming in. And hopefully, those are going to be scheduled for delivery towards second half of this year. Mm. Bearing that in mind, we didn't have a good year last year. It was on a good trajectory, I would say. But 2023 was, first half was okay, but second half, it just went downhill all the way, So all the semiconductor players, including QES, no difference. We are having a bad second half of 2023. You can see that from the results. So year-on-year basis, 2023 versus 2022. 2022 was, of course, a very good year for a lot of people and for QES as well. So I think, personally, we have get out of that already, and I'm seeing a lot of good signs showing probably growth in the semiconductor space going forward,
What sort of revenue contribution are you expecting from the production side of things versus the distribution side of things? Because, 85% currently, for distribution?
Mm. Yeah, 85%, distribution.
So what are you expecting production to contribute?
Okay, for manufacturing side, to be exact, last year we had like 31 million ringgit of revenue from the manufacturing side. Going forward, I'm expecting manufacturing to have double-digit growth on a yearly basis, So the plan is probably by end of 2025, I should be seeing manufacturing grow, probably close to 50 million ringgit, that kind of revenue targets. And going forward further, because of the Batokan plant is going to be ready by end of this year, I think facilitizing by early 2025. Those are catering for a larger marketplace like China, India, and certain part of US and Europe. So I personally think that with the products lineup that we have, we should be able to achieve to the ratio that I have set, to have the overall combined total revenue of manufacturing to be around 30-35% of our total.
What are you anticipating margins to be like? Because from your distribution side, you revealed to us that the margins, you find it difficult for it to cross even 20% for gross profit margins. And I think you told my colleague once that you'd be happy with a 40% gross profit margin for manufacturing. Is that achievable for you?
Yes, certainly. So it's a combination of product lines. So let's say our manufacturing side, of course, the legacy product lines that has been with us for more than 10 years, those I don't expect margins to be very, very good. But for the newly developed product lines, we expect GP of at least 40-50%, that kind of GP level for the new products that we have doing. And to be fair, I'm proud my team has already managed to get out some of the new product lines, and we are seeing orders coming in for those product lines, and that's a good sign.
Where are most of these orders coming from? You mentioned China, right?
No, China's last year has been bad, So, you look at our announced results, and if you attend our quarterly briefings, you know that China last year was quite tough. So I don't expect orders to be coming from China even until maybe fourth quarter of this year. So that is China. But our orders are coming from the big multinationals that has factories around in Malaysia, in Europe, and also around ASEAN. So these are all our customers that has been kind of give us the growth in terms of the new product lines, So I think I'm encouraged by that.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is the CEO and founder of the Bursa main board listed QES Group, Chiu Ni Weng. On the other side of the break, we explore what the future might look like for this homegrown semiconductor player, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where in the studio this morning we have Chiu Ni Weng, the CEO and founder of QES Group. Now, Chiu, somewhere in the midst of the pandemic, you entered into a joint venture with US-based Applied Engineering that involves setting up a facility in Batu Kawan, Penang. Today, you are now looking to expand that plan, for which you are investing even more. What is capacity like, and what are you were anticipating.
Yeah, now that you brought up, we actually started a joint venture over a Teams meeting, you know, during the COVID.
Where
I had a couple of team meetings with the US counterpart.
Because no one could travel that time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, and we just decided, okay, let's go, you know. That joint venture is doing relatively well. I think we have already close to 32, 33 employees now operating from a rented facility in Padukawan. That joint venture is, of course, QES is just a minority stake. Basically, I don't run that operations. It's run by the US, and we are the local partners here in Malaysia. And, they are into contract manufacturing services. They do build boxes. They do, equipment making, or whether it's in a semiconductor space or in a medtech space or in even aerospace, they do build boxes for them. So, to me, it's kind of interesting because I went into that is because I think I can leverage some of their know-how, some of their expertise, and certain things that I can cut short my time to market, on some of our own QES product line, I can leverage some of their expertise. So this is part and parcel of the plan. Of course, they themselves also, of course, trying to build the customer database in around ASEAN. And QES, of course, we have close to 4,000 customers across the ASEAN footprint, because this company is 33 years old.
Correct, yeah. So there's a bit of a symbiosis here with them.
Yeah, certainly.
The fact that you were so confident of the performance of this JV, I kind of felt maybe you should have asked for a higher stake or negotiate for a higher stake. Is that going to happen? Is that in the cards?
I did, Keith. I did in the early stage,
Okay.
I was thinking that, if they wanted control because of some strategic reasons, I understand.
Right.
So I said I asked for 45, actually.
But you've shown track record up till now, right? I mean, you told us that it was going to be profitable by year two. Has that happened?
In a way, it's kind of slowed down by 9 months. So we are expecting to break even this year only instead of last. So from the last board meeting I attended, I think AETM, which is Applied Engineering Technology Malaysia, I think we're heading towards break even by end of this year. So it's a good sign. So when they move to a larger place, our new Padukawan plant, we hope some of the anchor clientels that they have, probably will have more volumes, and then we start to generate some profit from then onwards, So that is the joint venture.
So this discussion about getting a higher stake, is that still continuing, or you are just...
You never know.
Okay.
I didn't bring it up further because they were adamant that they wanted 70, and it was kind of non-negotiable in the initial stage.
Right.
But as I said, Keith, you never know. Along the line, you just move along. I mean, you never know that they might, we might. Yeah, I'm open now. Always open to take up more equity stake. Because I believe that joint venture is running pretty independently, and also it kind of opened up a little bit of our horizon in terms of manufacturing. So that is part of our plan. Yeah.
I'm fascinated by your ESG commitments at your Padukawan plant. Has that somehow, I suppose, translated into savings for QES and, for companies or MNCs who are thinking of doing something like that? Maybe it's an example they can follow. What's your experience like?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. ESG, to me personally, and also to QES group of companies, I think we are embarking on that, actively doing a lot of work, trying to improve on the E and the S and the Gs and all that. But on the underlying issue, as you pointed out, it will bring benefit to the group of companies. So whatever new things that we're going to initiate, probably we have to incorporate the ESG factors into anything that we're going to do, whether it's in a business model, whether it's manufacturing plants. So like you said, the BKIP, we have to incorporate a lot of green initiatives. And we start with a very basic one, the GB so-called Green Building Index.
Right.
I think going forward, we're going to improve that as we go along.
What sort of capex would you have to set aside for something like this? And what sort of returns do you expect to see?
Okay. Now, we are probably spending close to 40 million ringgit for the plant, inclusive of everything.
Right.
And of course, the ROI is always there. And as I said earlier on, I have not seen voluminous demand from larger countries into the semiconductor space, India, China, Europe, US, and all that. We are having not too big an exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And this plant, plus our current Hicom Grammary plant, probably will give us more capacity, at the same time, more capability. So the returns will come in, because at the end of the day, the company group point of view, you know, we are making probably, you know, on average, maybe 20 million after tax a year. You know, like last year, 2023, we hit 18 after tax. 2022, we hit 26 after tax. So going forward, I'm, of course, you know, forecasting that we probably will hit that kind of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are able to achieve a certain growth in terms of revenue and profit, the returns can come in, I think, within 3-4 years.
You released your latest annual results a few weeks back. If I zoom out to look at the numbers, going back to when you first listed in 2018, the good news is it doesn't seem like you were affected too much by COVID-19, which I suppose it's a blessing. Revenues didn't dip too significantly. Your profit went up also. But the bad news is that today, the revenues may be steady, but profits are also just as steady. And it kind of highlights that the margins are just under 30%. Net margins are about 8%. Do you see those as something of a concern? The margins seem a bit tight to me for an industry like this.
Right. You're right. First of all, Keith, I think you have to understand that our business model, about 80%, as you said, the revenue is from distribution.
Yeah.
Of course, distribution, we don't enjoy very, very high margins, you know. And
at least it's consistent, though.
Yeah, consistent. Yeah. That's the key word here. So the manufacturing is on a growing phase, you know. So we are continuously investing in R&D, throwing back money into developing and hiring. So all this, of course, eats into the bottom line, you know.
Mm.
But I'm just kind of pivoting more towards that, anchoring the company to have more manufacturing base. And that takes time, you know. I was on a very good trajectory until 2023. It just hit us. So we were kind of, hey, let's go back a little bit, you know. So, but I believe it's going to come back. The overall semiconductor areas segment is going to grow. I'm confident that, you know, Malaysia as well as generally the worldwide semiconductor, you can see, you can read that the AI is driving it, you know, the general demands, you know, of electronics, everything, even including cars, as you are aware, you know, that really consumes a lot of IC chips, you know. So I have no doubt that this expansion of us eventually will yield returns back to the stakeholders, you know.
Yeah, and speaking of those returns back to the stakeholders, you've only recently started paying out dividends a little bit more consistently. Is there a plan to have a dividend policy officially in place?
Currently, I don't have that in plan, dividend policy per se. But we are just demonstrating that as long as the company is making good profits, we will definitely kind of push for dividend to be farmed out to the shareholders and all that. So this is important. But as I said earlier on, we are in a growing phase. So I'm trying to balance between growth and rewarding our shareholders. So, you know, you can't be like fix a high dividend yield. At the same time, you want to grow, you know, whether it's manufacturing or distribution or all that. So I have to have a certain balance in terms of the growth as well as rewarding the dividend to our stakeholders. So currently, we are in that kind of a platform. But, you know, once everything is stabilized, I get the economy of scales in terms of my manufacturing.
Right.
And profit is, you know, good. Yeah, I will push for a dividend policy. You know, this to me is important, because ultimately I'm also a interested party, so to speak. Yeah.
Now, you did mention that indeed 2023 wasn't a great year for this industry. Analysts are already now becoming a little bit more upbeat about how the global semiconductor manufacturing industry is recovering into this year. Are you seeing shoots of that, and how is that translating into your earnings for this year?
Yes. Definitely, you know, all our customers, and I've spoken to quite a fair bit of analysts and all that, everybody is have the same mindset that, of course, first quarter probably flattish, then probably second quarter you'll start to see significant growth, and then third quarter probably peak, Then fourth quarter will depend on how China moves, you know. So that is my own perspective. And I think overall, 2024, it will be much, much better than 2023. So in our order books, in our delivery schedules and all that, if all we are meeting the timeline, I think 2024 for QES Group, you know, will be a, you know, significant growth comparatively to 2023. But we can always roll back in 2022, right? So right. If I'm trying to replicate 2022 results, that means I'm already a double-digit growth.
Finally, Chiu, what are you most concerned about as a risk for 2024 for your industry?
The risk is always the external, the main ones, you know. I was a bit worried when I saw flashes of news about the Iranian and Israel, you know, shooting each other, missiles and all that. So you never know, it can escalate into a larger scale. So that will have a big impact to any industries, right? So there's always that risk. And in terms of localized risk, Malaysia, as I said, our Batukawan plant, you know, that what keeps me awake will be, how can I hire many good engineers to work for us? There's always that key matter. So I think it kind of augurs well for the whole country because they have a demand for engineers and all that. But I think the government is listening. I'm a member of the MISIA, and our Datuk Seri Wong Siew Hai has been very active as well to push forward the agenda of STEM education, skill up our engineers so that we can have a productive workforce. And that is, to me, is very important to attract further foreign direct investment. So to me, I think the government is heading the right direction, but a little bit more speed, a little bit more execution needed.
Chiu Nee Wing, thank you very much for sharing your insights.
Thank you, Keith.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning was Chiu Nee Wing, the CEO and founder of the Bursa Malaysia-listed QES Group. I'm Keith Kam for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Beyond financial mastery, The Breakfast Grill with U-Mobile Biz, Malaysia's number one 5G network. 5G makes business sense.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.